Here's what happened this morning with Stacy and Clayton.
Did your family have one of those wacky answering machine jingles back in the day?
Let me just go back for a second. We could not afford an answering machine like the rich folks.
So are you really shaming me over an answering machine? Really?
Yes, I am. Yes.
I'm mad. The Croker household had an answering machine.
Ooh, must be nice.
And we were like George Costanza. We had a funny little jingle.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out or I'd pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Classic Costanza right there. There was another one too. Joe from Family Guy, he had one of those to the tune of Your Love by The Outfield.
I don't want to miss your call tonight. I already missed your call tonight.
So here's the thing about those wacky answering machine jingles. Some families took them very seriously.
Yes.
And some were very well done. Like, you'd be listening to them for 30 seconds and you'd forget what message you wanted to leave. You were like,
wow, that was catchy.
Yeah, I don't have any message. I just want to say that's very impressive. I'm going to call back so I can hear that again, you know? My mom took the answering machine jingle very serious. And
okay.
If your family was the same way, and if you maybe want to share a little snippet of it on the air, let us know. 306-938-0963. My mom would, like, force us to not go outside so we could practice our answering machine jingle. Like, we'd be like, hey, Mom, can we go play basketball in the park? Are we done recording the answering machine jingle?
No.
Then you're not going to the park. Let's get it right.
So what was it?
Ours was to the tune of the Addams Family theme song.
Oh, okay.
So it would be the start of that Addams Family. We're kooky and we're spooky.
Yeah,
The Croker family. Na 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 na. Na 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 na.
Oh, I like the snaps.
Na 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 na. Leave a message. So instead of the snaps at the end, we do the leave a message.
Wow.
We couldn't get the snaps down. So, like, we needed to be in sync with our snaps.
Of course.
Someone would always be early, and we'd have to re-record it. Ryan, you snapped early. We're doing it again. No, we're doing it again. I know we've taken 41 takes, but we're doing this again. I don't care if you have a friend's birthday party. We will stay here until we get it right.
One of my friends, if you phoned there, was like, hi, you've reached the blah blah's residence. And then they'd all pipe up with their names. It's Carol.
Mm-hmm.
It's Doug. It's Michelle.
It's Brent.
That was weird.
And then there was always like, and Rufus the dog. Who's leaving a message for Rufus?
And who cares about the dog? Let's face it.
Whoa.
It comes to leaving a message on an answering machine.
I know. I'm just trying to get you triggered. It's my new favorite thing to do, by the way, is pretend to be offended so that you get offended. Offendedception, baby. We got this call from Tori, and she's on your side with the whole answering machine thing.
I don't have any. We couldn't afford a message manager, but my friends did, and there was one. It was summer home and summer not. Sorry we missed your call, because we're in our summer home. It was really stupid.
That would infuriate me.
What did it say?
Summer home, summer not. Like, some people are home, some are not, but really it's because they have a summer home and they're bragging about it in their answering machine jingle.
Geez.
We have a summer home. We're better than you. La-di-da. Like,
you know what else we forgot to bring up?
Mm-hmm.
Are the people who mess around with the answering machine messages who are like, hello? And then you start talking.
Yep.
You're like, hey, it's me. Can we get to... I can't come to the phone.
The worst. The worst practical joke.
So bad.
Of all time. We got a message from Curtis at 306-938-0963. And if you're a wrestling fan, you'll appreciate this. He would change his answering machine jingle when his mom wasn't home. He would start it out with the Val Venus theme song. Do you remember the wrestler Val Venus?
Yes.
This was his walk-in song.
Hello.
Proceed to be like, well, all the ladies who want to give me a message.
Oh, geez.
Leave it for Curtis here. That is so funny. I love that. And then his mom would like hear it and be like, Curtis,
stop that.
Stop doing that. And then he'd change it like a week later.
Too funny.
Hello, ladies. By the way, the saxophone at the end of that is just mint.
Absolute
Meaty sex.
Careless whisperer-esque right there. Meaty sex?
Yeah.
What?
We talk a lot about beer on this show. We both love to drink beer.
It's okay.
And one of the things we mentioned, I guess last week it was, is when you go on a holiday and you're at the airport and maybe you get there ridiculously early, which let's face it, we all do because you want to be early, not so you don't miss your flight, but so you can have an airport drink.
Or four.
So we thought of, you know, what are the best times or situations to have a beer? And one of those, obviously, the airport beer.
Mm-hmm, like great beers, right?
Yeah, epic beers.
Another one, the kitchen beer while she's getting ready. As a guy, I can say that is a fantastic beer right there. Because especially if you're like double dating and there's two guys in the kitchen just having beer while your ladies are getting ready. Love that beer.
Fair enough. If you're on a hotel or if you've rented a hotel room, you're on the balcony. It's like 7 o'clock before you guys go out for the night.
It's a very solid beer. The Sunday afternoon beer garden beer.
The Friday before Christmas beer or the, you know, the day before Christmas.
Not bad. I have a few more here. In between the wedding ceremony and wedding reception beer. You know how there's like that 4-hour period. You and a bunch of friends who aren't in the wedding party go for a beer. That's a great one. The beer after driving for 14 hours in a storm. Mm-hmm. Like when you finally get to your destination. Oh, so
well
relieving.
Earned.
Yeah.
The beer after cutting the grass in the summer.
As a lawn dad, so I can say that's the number one beer. The taste of the grass is kind of in your teeth, and then it mixes with the beer. Oh, the kids went to bed after being fussy beer. As a parent, you probably love that one.
I have had a few of those.
I failed a test and I know it beer. Remember back in the university days?
Those taste bitter.
Oh, I blew it. Let's go for a few pints.
Hair of the dog beer.
Yeah.
Which in
is
my case
good beer?
Needs a bit of clam. Oh, it's so good.
Or orange juice.
Ugh.
Well, you're not an orange juice and beer person?
Clam
I thought you would be.
Clam and beer.
Yeah, I disagree. I just took 5 hours cleaning the house beer.
Oh, yes.
That's when your mouth tastes like cleaning supplies.
And
you wash
sweating.
It down with the beer. Oh, yeah. I just made an epic meal for the entire family beer.
Mm.
And like afterwards, when everyone's cleaning up because you cooked, and you're just enjoying your beer, just so proud of the meal that you cooked.
Here's another one. After putting together a piece of IKEA furniture beer.
The best beer. The locker room after a meaningless beer league hockey win. Finish setting up the campsite beer.
Nice.
Yeah. The spur of the moment afternoon beer. I think that's the best one. When you had no intention of getting a beer at like 3 p.m, run into someone from high school. Oh, yeah, let's go get a beer.
That's always
nice.
That's
another good one. Basically, what we're trying to say is there a bad beer? No. So Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, he donated $10 billion to help fight climate change. And people are upset about it. That's not a mistake, by the way. Like, people are legit upset at Jeff Bezos for donating $10 billion.
And, of course, Jeff Bezos came up with Amazon, like, in his garage or something like that. Crazy story. It's now the biggest company ever, and he is, like, the richest guy. And so my first reaction to this was, like, that's amazing. $10 billion towards climate change, which is a huge issue that we're facing as a society. And then, you know, I read the article further and I was like, yeah, this is all really good. And then I felt kind of bad because my next thing was like, 10 billion, hey? 20?
You're the worst. You're the worst.
I don't know. He's so rich.
It's $10 billion nonetheless, though. Like, $10 billion, that's going to go so far. And the people who are upset aren't the, oh, climate change is fake news. Those people aren't upset. It's everyone else who's like, why couldn't it be more, man? Like,
I know.
When are people going to be happy with something? You always have to find the negative in everything, right? Well, he could have donated more because he's worth more. Like, what do you want him to do? He should have sold his company, gave all his money away, and moved to a remote cabin in the woods living off $0. If he really cared, he would have done that. What do you want this guy to do?
I don't know.
$10 billion and people are upset at him. Really? Really?
Well, let's say his net worth, just ballparking it, was $50 billion.
I think that's like
I know low. It's low.
Yeah.
It's something big. But then like maybe give $45 billion and save $5 billion for yourself. Is that not reasonable?
$129 billion. That's how much he's worth.
Okay. He could have given $100 billion and still had $29 billion.
Okay. Let's just pretend you're worth like $100,000. Technically, you could donate like $80,000 and still still have 20 grand left. Would you do that?
100,000 compared to billions is different.
I know, but still, people are making this comparison. Well, he still has a lot of money left afterwards. It's still $10 billion, though. Still going to go real far. Like, but you're ripping on this guy. How much have you given to climate change, Stacey?
Zero.
Yeah.
But I recycle.
Oh, well. Pin the blue ribbon upon your chest, then.
What are the lyrics to that song? I hope I haven't been singing it wrong. Now it's time to settle the score with Crew's Confused Lyrics.
Driven by Infinity Saskatoon. In the Saskatoon Auto Mall and at infinitysaskatoon.ca.
I can't get over how sexy that bass line is.
Slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass, man.
Okay, Colleen sent this one in. This is great. ABBA, Dancing Queen. Colleen hears, you are the Dancing Queen, young and sweet, only seven teeth.
You are the Dancing Queen, young and sweet, only seven teeth.
Wow.
You would love this one for some reason.
I just think it's hilarious.
Okay.
Not the correct lyrics.
No way.
Yeah. The actual lyrics, you are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
You are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
I still don't know why you find this one so funny.
I don't know.
You were giggling the whole time there. It's the good. Whole time. This next one is from Chris. Fleetwood Mac's Don't Stop. This one is just rude. Chris hears, oh, don't you look fat. Rude. There have been a lot of rude Crew's Confused Lyrics lately.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah.
Also, I blew it. It's ooh, not oh.
Yes, that's
my apologies.
I've typed three O's.
Blew it.
It's okay.
The actual lyrics, ooh, don't you look back.
Yeah, no. That's a clear F.
There's
sound.
An F sound in there, right?
Nice try, Fleetwood Mac. Anyway, last one. Amy sent this one in. Kiss, I Love It Loud. This is a great one. Amy hears, Whiplash, Heavy Metal Laxative.
Whiplash, Heavy Metal Laxative.
See, that's the one that makes me laugh.
Is it a pill that's made of metal?
Imagine the commercial for this laxative. Is your normal laxative not doing the trick? Try Heavy Metal Laxative. It'll get it out of there quick.
And loud. No.
Gross!
Anyway.
Are you trying to steal my thunder, by the way, and tell the real lyrics?
This just went
Oh, no, south. It's your turn. Never mind.
Yeah.
This went off the rails.
Okay.
Went off the rails.
The actual lyrics. Whiplash, Heavy Metal Accident.
It's funny because if you have a heavy metal laxative, you could have a heavy metal
I love it. Oh, boy. Anyway, that's it. That's all. That's what you do.
Yeah.
I do this.
Yeah. I was hoping you would forget.
I almost did.
Sweet Emotion from Aerosmith, 96.3, Cruise FM, great hits and the best rock ever. What are you laughing about over there? What?
I'll let you get into it.
It wasn't that funny.
I think I'm in one of those moods where I just can't.
Okay, let's just pretend I didn't just say, what are you laughing at, okay?
Okay.
3, 2, 1. There's this guy who studies hydraulic engineering. His name is Paul Van Pull. He is known for pulling a lot of vans in his day.
Paul Van Pull.
I was going to say that as like a bad joke on purpose. Like, oh, that's bad. And you actually thought it was good.
It's so bad, I laughed.
Yeah, Paul Van Pull. His family has been pulling vans since the late 60s. He has this idea for Saskatoon, water buses.
Yes.
Get serious here, okay?
I love this idea.
If there's one thing we are on Cruise Mornings, it's very
serious.
No laughing allowed. This guy wants to have water buses going up and down the river, starting at the new Chief Mistawasis Bridge and going all the way down, making a few stops and pretty much going until the Weir.
Right, because you can't boat over that.
That's the thing that sucks about this idea. A lot of European Canadian cities have these river buses, but for us, our river is kind of divided in two with the Weir there. So you'd kind of need two. You could have one that starts at the Gordie Howe Bridge, go all the way until the Weir, and then another one on the opposite side. This just makes me hate the Weir even more.
Well, it's now, kind of in the way, because it was actually introduced for water flow purposes back in the day, and then now it's like, well, it's just basically like a landmark. People are like, oh, there's that weird little thing in the river.
I hate it because my brother, when I was a kid, convinced me that a monster lived down there, and he would grab your foot and not let you up. That's why the Weir would suck you in. There's a monster, not because, you know, the actual scientific reason.
Yeah.
But the best part about this whole story is this Paul Van Poel guy, you'd think he'd have like a plan for it.
Well, what did you call him? A hydro water engineer?
A hydraulic engineer.
Hydraulic engineer.
But basically, he's just like, no, this is just my idea. You guys figure out the rest.
That was because that's what people were saying. We're like, what's the practicality of it? He's like, well, it could run all year round. And they're like, okay, great. How? And he's like, well, I don't have the answer to that. I'm just the person who throws out ideas.
I love that.
Wow.
Makes me love this guy even more. He's just like, look, I did the hard part of thinking of the idea. You guys just do the rest of the boring stuff.
That'd be great. Very sad thing that's happened in the old Cooper household. My treat hiding spot has been compromised. Careful, you're going to hurt your lungs.
Oh, I already did.
It's troubling, though, because now... Oh, here we go.
I tried to go extra long for comedic effect.
And now you've done it.
Wouldn't recommend it. I'm good. I'll play through the pain.
Okay. So I have to find a new spot to hide my treats at home because you and I were talking about cheating on our significant others with food and basically like hiding snacks, eating treats without sharing them with your significant other. And so I do that. My husband does that. I know we both do it to each other. I had a great hiding spot, but over the weekend, he confesses that he's found my hiding spot.
I can't believe he told you, by the way.
And that he's been dipping in there every once in a while, and I was none the wiser.
Was he just proud of his...
He was so proud.
Yeah?
Of the fact that he found my spot. He had to agree it was a good spot. It was behind a door that goes down to our basement, and behind the door along the wall, there's like a 3 or 4 inch ledge that's perfect for just putting stuff. And when the door's open, it covers my hiding spot.
He's been looking for it for years, too, hasn't he?
Maybe not years, but quite some time.
You need a new hiding spot.
I need a new hiding spot. We had a few of them come in over text 306-938-0963. Apparently, no men ever look in a woman's shoebox.
That's so true. Because we don't care.
Well, I don't have shoeboxes. Like, my shoeboxes are in the basement in a cupboard. And I'm lazy, so that's way too far for me to go for a snack.
If it's going to be a good hiding spot, you need to work for it.
I guess.
It wouldn't be a good hiding spot if it didn't take a little bit of effort. You're lazy.
There's another one. Hide it in the feminine hygiene box. Men will never go there.
Yeah, that's...
That's a great one.
Yeah, we're scared of those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when we're in the bathroom and we're looking for something, we open a drawer and we see it, we're like, ah!
Yeah, because it's so terrifying.
For the third year in a row, I am participating in the Pow City Kinsmen Celebrity Karaoke Competition.
Congratulations.
Don't know why they call it a celebrity karaoke competition, by the way, because I'm in there and I'm the opposite of celebrity.
They didn't ask me because I sing too well.
Yeah, so, sure. Yeah. That's why they didn't ask you. Yeah. It's all to support Telemiracle. It's a great night. Friday at the hall on Central there. The Sutherland Hall is going to be there if you want to see me embarrass myself. Come on out. Here's the thing. I hate karaoke. Like, the only reason I do this is to raise some money for Telemiracle.
Right.
That's the only reason I do this, because I hate singing. I have a horrible voice.
No, come on.
Last year, I sang two songs that were under 2 minutes. Just so I can get
choices.
Up there and then leave like a minute and a half later. That song from The Wedding Singer, Grow Old With You.
Oh, yeah.
I sang that, dedicated it to my wife, got some brownie points. But this year I had an idea, and I don't know if it's stupid or genius.
I'll tell you.
Okay. I want to sing a song with no words.
That's stupid. No.
Like, would that
tell
be funny?
More.
Like, would that be funny if I went up there and sang ZZ Top's Lagrange or Lagrange? I never know how to pronounce that one.
I feel like it would be hilarious maybe within the first 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then you have to sit through the rest of the song watching you physically entertain people instead of having them listen to your beautiful voice.
Well, that's the thing. I just want to go up there and just stand there. maybe like bob my head a little bit, tap my toe, but I'm not like dancing up the storm. I'm not ripping off my shirt or anything like that. But I think it would be so funny if I go up there and sing Sandstorm by Darude. Remember that techno song? No words in the entire
song.
There
you go.
I would just stand up there and just bob my head Night at the Roxbury style. Would that be funny or annoying?
You know what you could do is you could just like have the song play, pull up a chair, sit down, and just go on your phone for 2 minutes while the song plays.
Just eat some popcorn or something. See, that would be funny. Just pretend nothing's going on. Yeah. Let me know if that's funny or not. 306-938-0963. And make sure you join us on Friday because it's all for Telemiracle and it's going to be really embarrassing.
I'm a huge fan of the charcuterie board. I love all sorts of meats and cheeses and additions that people put with them. Fruits, jams, twigs, berries, what have you.
Twigs.
I love it all. Yeah, sure. Why not? It's up to you. But basically, the popularity of charcuterie boards has grown exponentially. They are quite a great thing to entertain with because of all the options. And now, turns out people are kind of taking that another step further and using the charcuterie board idea for a whole bunch of things. One of those, pancakes.
A pancake board.
Yeah. You fill the middle with like silver dollar sized pancakes, not the big old dinner plate size, but little silver dollar ones. And then you put like bananas and strawberries and maybe some Nutella and syrup and sprinkles and chocolate chips. So you basically dress your own pancakes right there via the pancake board.
See, I had no idea this existed. You showed me a photo and it just looks inconvenient. Because they're
having everything right at your fingertips in one spot?
Well, first of all, you need to make the pancakes smaller. You can't have the giant pancakes. You need to make them small, which is tough to do because chances are you're going to burn them. The smaller the pancakes, the higher chance there is to burn them.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, well, la-di-da.
I've made a number of pancakes in my life.
But also, the board is just jam-packed with stuff.
Yeah, good things.
Yeah, but you can also just spread it out on a table because a table is a big board. So instead of spreading everything out on a big board, you're going to put everything on a small board. That makes sense. Yeah, let's inconvenience everyone.
The other thing, too, though, is these boards, charcuterie boards, pancake boards, it's all about presentation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like they've just taken, well, slapped them down, whatever. It's arranged very beautifully. I also saw you would like this one. Tell me you wouldn't like this one. It was a French fry board.
That's just putting French fries on a cutting board.
Big like, old stack of like cross tracks, wedges, shoestring, and then a whole bunch of different dips. Come on.
That's what I don't like about this board trend. Like, it makes normal food super fancy. Like pancakes. Pancakes, normal breakfast food. Pancake or pancake board, ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
Hey, what's next? Pizza pot board. Oh, we have three different varieties of pizza pops.
Why
here.
Not?
We have the actual pizza pops, the pizza pop minis, and also the pizza, oh, what's the other kind? Not the pizza pops, but the pizza bites.
Pockets.
Yeah. The underrated pizza pop.
Why not?
No.
Why
Fudgical
not?
Boards, cereal boards. When's it going to end? Grilled cheese boards. Ooh, we have a bunch of grilled cheeses here. Just put it on a table.
Taco boards.
Okay, that actually does sound kind of okay.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.